Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. After a bruising defeat in November, the Democratic National Committee heads to Atlanta this weekend to elect a new chair. It's a key position. The winner will help rebuild the fractured party as it prepares for the 2018 midterm elections. Last night, the eight lead candidates faced off during a 90-minute debate on CNN. But the two widely believed frontrunners for DNC chair are former Labor Secretary in the Obama administration, Tom Perez, and Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison. We're joined by supporters of each of the two candidates, and let me tell you who they are. We're joined by Shonda Wesley. She's senior strategist for the California Democratic Party. Good morning, Shonda Wesley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And we're also joined by Jennifer Granholm. She's a faculty member at the Goldman School of Public Policy at UC Berkeley and the former governor of Michigan. Good morning to you, Jennifer Granholm.
Good morning.
And Jennifer Granholm, if I could start with you just to lay out what the position is. I always saw it largely as an operational one focused on fundraising, setting the primary rules and getting Democrats elected at the state level. But has the profile changed, especially, you know, after the very widely reported leaks that revealed that the former chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, was forced to step down because she'd been biased toward Bernie Sanders in the primary. There's an interim chair now, Donna Brazile, who also had controversy for revelations that she leaked some debate questions to Hillary Clinton. So do you think that the profile of this position has changed?
I do. But in addition to what you've described, I think it's changed because now the Democrats are in the minority and you need a strong voice to be able to be the party of the opposition, of the resistance. And so the profile in terms of the elevation of the profile certainly has grown and will continue to be very important going forward.
And Shonda Wesley, what qualities do you think an effective chair would need to possess?
I think for the party to move forward, what we really need is a strong organizer. There's all of the chair candidates, of which there are more than just the two that are being represented on this interview, but all of them are great at giving a good speech and energizing the grassroots. But what we need is someone who can take that energy and make it real in the field and help us start winning again.
And the person that you hope wins the chair seat is Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison. Tell us why.
Well, because he understands the party's role. He's partnered with the party before. He stood for election personally. And so he knows how to increase turnout and focus on the mechanics of winning. I mean, when California Chairman John Burton, when he was making his decision in this race, he said, listen, I don't want to hear about the past. I don't want to hear about issues. I want to know who can do the actual job. It's about engaging and franchising the state parties and activists to make a real change. I mean, the fact is, if we won 70,000 more votes in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, we would have President Hillary Clinton right now, and I'd be sleeping better at night. And I think that Keith is the person who can do that because it will be his focus, because that's his history of being an organizer and focusing on turnout in his district in Minnesota.
Jennifer Granholm, you'd like to see former Labor Secretary Tom Perez win this. Can you tell us why?
Sure. One reason why is because he represents this rising American majority. He's the son of immigrants. He would be the first Latino. I think all of these candidates represent a segment of the Democratic Party. But he also speaks to workers because he was the Secretary of Labor. He jokes that he has a PhD in Buffalo. He doesn't have a PhD, but he knows Buffalo because that's where he is from. He worked on the back of a garbage truck to put himself through college. And he's also, I mean, to sort of reinforce what Shonda is saying, is that he has managed large organizations. He's been a turnaround artist, whether it's been at the Department of Labor or the Department of Civil Rights or even CASA. I mean, he's got very specific plans to be able to turn the DNC around. And we all, I think, can agree that the DNC is in need of an infusion of really aggressive bottom-up turnaround, including making sure that there is a 50-state strategy to make sure there's a pipeline of people to take over so that the Democrats are not in the minority anymore.
This has been characterized, though. I mean, you mentioned that Tom Perez is a working person's fighter, but But this has been characterized as a proxy fight, you know, of Clinton and Sanders, and that Perez is largely seen as sort of the establishment person with a lot of Clinton allies' support. So, you know, do you think that that's, you know, and whereas Ellison has, you know, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders support and others in the progressive wing, you know, do you think that's a fair characterization of this as a proxy?
No,
fight?
I don't. And I think every single one of the candidates who are running reject that this is some sort of replaying of the past. This is about the future. Tom is as progressive as any candidate in the race when you look at them on the issues. He's a civil rights attorney. He's fought for a wide range of progressive causes. He's achieved real results. Many people in the Obama administration, when he was appointed, were worried that because he's so progressive, he might not have been confirmed. In fact, he was confirmed. But he speaks to the breadth of the party and a forward look. I know Keith Ellison also rejects, because I've heard him say this, rejects that this is a proxy fight. These are about individuals. This is not about the past. This is about who can best represent and move the party forward in a very inclusive manner.
Shonda Wesley, I guess what I'm curious about is where do the two diverge, in your opinion?
I think it's an approach on how to execute the plan. And for Keith, I mean, and I agree with the governor, this isn't about a proxy war. This isn't about 2016. It is about 2018. And that's why Keith Ellison has support from folks like Senator Schumer, Senator Duckworth, Bill de Blasio, AFT President Randy Weingarten, and also our California legend, Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. But the difference in their approach is that Keith understands in practice what we're talking about because he's lived it. You know, Keith is not from the West Coast or the East Coast. He's from the Midwest. He's from Minnesota. He's from a 63% white working class district. And when he first ran in his district, it had the lowest turnout in the state, but they've now elected him five straight terms. Now it's the highest performing district in the state, and Republicans haven't won a single statewide race since that time. I mean, he's shown through his personal experience how to win in the places that we lost last time. We're going to win him back next time. And he's shown that when you do focus on turnout and focus on the mechanics of winning, you can do amazing things. Like Governor Mark Dayton and Senator Franken from Minnesota both benefit from Keith's focus on increasing the turnout in his congressional district because the amount that he increased turnout overcame the rest of the state and a very slim margin both of those men won. And so that's where Keith's focus is going to be, and it's going to be on state parties, helping state parties rebuild who've kind of been languishing for the last 8 years. In California, when John Burton took over, we really focused on making sure that the grassroots got what they needed and because they know how to run their program. And when we did that, we have seen amazing things over the last, 8 years of John's tenure here in California. And I think Keith is the person to do that nationally.
Well, let me invite our listeners to join this conversation. We're talking about this weekend's election for the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The chair will help rebuild the Democratic Party apparatus as it prepares for the 2018 midterm elections. And our guests this half hour are Shonda Wesley, senior strategist for the California Democratic Party, and Jennifer Granholm, faculty member at UC Berkeley and former governor of Michigan. What do you think the party needs to do? What direction should they go? And who would you like to see as chair? The phone number is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can email us at forum@kqed.org, post your comments on Facebook, on Twitter, or on our website, kqed.org/forum. Jennifer Granholm, the reason that I'm asking about where they diverge is because I've heard both of them say that they want to reinstate this 50-state strategy, which I understand is just putting operatives in all 50 states and focusing more on organizing and transparency and dealing with some of the issues that the DNC faced during the 2016 election and some of the trust issues that were faced there. Shonda Wesley seems to be suggesting that Keith Ellison has a much stronger focus on voter turnout and an approach to voter turnout that's better than Tom Perez's. Would you agree with that? And where do you see Perez's biggest strengths? or areas of focus?
No, I don't agree with that. But I do think they both obviously need to focus on and are focused on focusing on voter turnout, both identification and getting out the vote. I mean, Tom has a really comprehensive strategy. I mean, he does want to institute specific fighting for voter suppression and fighting against disenfranchisement with a fully staffed voter empowerment team that works with state parties and progressive groups to stop unjust laws. He wants to target gerrymandering where it starts by working to elect more Democratic, state legislatures and governors, obviously working from the bottom up to recruit the best candidates so that we can have a pipeline of talent. He wants to lead efforts, and he will lead efforts, to stop policies that undermine the pillars of the middle class and make it harder for Americans to get a fair deal in terms of our message. He wants to invest in these state parties. Because he's run a large organization and he's helped to turn it around. The Department of Labor has a $13 billion budget, 17,000 employees. When he came, the morale was bad. He helped to turn that around. He did the same thing at the Department of Civil Rights. This is real. You need a great manager, and you need somebody who has been an organizer, and you need somebody who can send a message, and you need somebody who can fundraise, and you need somebody who can implement a plan, which he has demonstrated that he can do in the organizations that he has run. He also thinks it's very important to recruit experienced organizers across the country in every zip code to build a permanent organizing structure and department within the DNC. He wants to develop a program to train the next generation of advocates and of leaders at the DNC, but also inside of the states themselves, and to invest in those local organizers and parties by increasing the training and support. So, they both agree on a 50-state strategy. It really, and they're both really good people. And I will say that this race has been encouraging because nobody has taken shots at one another. Everybody agrees that the Democratic Party needs an injection of freshness, needs to be turned around, needs a different strategy. So they are good people. But you have to look at the experience of all of the candidates to say who has best been able to turn an organization around, who can speak for every Democrat, a DNC for every Democrat is Tom's MO, his motive, his slogan. And I think that, and I know, because I've known Tom Perez for 30 years. I know him personally. He was my husband's roommate in college, so I know him deep down. We've vacationed with families every year. I know how progressive he is. I know how capable he is personally.
Well,
so I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, neither you or Shonda actually have a vote because it's of the 447 members, but he has the right surrogate, I guess. We also asked our listeners what they think the Democratic Party needs. And let's hear from John in San Francisco. Hi, John.
Good morning. I am a long-term Democrat. I voted for every Democratic president in the general election since 1964 for a Democrat until this past year, when I voted for a Green Party candidate, because I don't think that the Democratic Party is responsive to the people. They're fine on the issues, but as far as the government bureaucracy that has been developed, they are completely unresponsive to the people, in my personal experience. The Democratic Party has not been responsible to the people because they have allowed income inequality to occur during the Clinton administration and the Obama administration. In addition, they have not been responsible for veterans' rights. As we all know from the debacle that occurred at the Veterans Administration when veterans were being denied health care. So my comment and question is, who is going to make the large government bureaucracies responsible for their conduct in helping people on an individual basis to get the benefits that the government says they should get.
Well, John, thank you for that. You're not alone in terms of wanting a more responsive party. Mark writes, it needs to stop being a D.C. Republican light party. It needs to be inclusive of Sanders and the center left. But much more importantly, it needs to listen. Doug says, focus on the worker and not the corporation. When the DNC decides to handpick a candidate who had an inability to connect with union members in the Midwest, it's very easy to see why the Democrats are now a coast party with no control in the executive and legislative body. And Sean writes, the DNC showed itself to be a corrupt institution during the last primary. It's going to need more than just a new leader to make the structural changes, but I guess this is a start. What they need to do is pick a leader who will shift the focus from that divisive identity politics into one of economic justice. What I'm hearing in these comments, Jennifer Granholm, is that people want an economic message more than anything else. And I'm wondering what you think that message needs to be to relate, say, to the union member in the Midwest that one of our listeners was talking about here. What is the economic message that's galvanizing for people?
Well, I mean, coming from the Midwest myself,
exactly.
I know this so deeply in my gut, what people in the industrial Midwest are feeling, which is this incredible destabilization because of both trade agreements that have seen our jobs go away as well as automation. And this is all through no fault of their own. It is an identity crisis that people are experiencing, people who have had their grandfather and father and themselves work for the same company. And all of a sudden that company has gone to a different country through no fault of their own, and they're left with nothing. This issue, if the Democrats don't understand and get and listen and hear the depth of this issue, then we will continue to lose voters to Donald Trump. Donald Trump this morning is meeting with manufacturers. Yes, he's meeting with CEOs. But the bottom line is that's our issue. We should have a strategy that creates good-paying, advanced manufacturing jobs in America and not aid and abet the offshoring of these jobs. We should be building the machines, the robots that are, yes, robots are coming. You can't turn that around. But we should be creating the industrial clusters here. We should have an economic development strategy that puts people to work in good-paying jobs. So this, to me, is such a critical issue. It's one of the reasons why I know Tom Perez is focused on this as well, both as the Secretary of Labor, but also coming from a city like Buffalo that experienced the slamming of globalization and the loss of huge amounts of jobs. You have to know this very deep in your core. So I say all of that to say, yes, an economic issue, an economic message is really important. And I would also say, and we also need to speak to a broad array of people. It is not about pockets or slices of the electorate. It is about speaking broadly to all Americans, which is why Democrats have to be able to take advantage of what Donald Trump is doing by excluding slices of people, whether they're immigrants from Syria or immigrants from Mexico or transgender kids. He has targeted pockets and speaks only to one slice of people himself, whereas Democrats speak broadly and must continue to have that message.
Shonda Wesley, why do you think Keith Ellison would be better with an economic message?
Well, I agree that it is all about the economy and about working families. And Keith is leading with the issues when it comes to improving the lives of working families. He is, of course, from the Midwest. He just got the endorsement of the United Auto Workers, SEIU, and they're joining the AFL-CIO Teamster Steelworkers, and Lee Saunders, of course, from AFSCME. All of those folks understand that that is where Keith's heart is and why he was one of the Democrats who was opposed to the TPP.
So what's his message?
I'm sorry?
What's his actual message around it?
His message that we need is to start focusing on a better economic recovery for those folks in the states that need it the most. One of the ways he's going to do that is to have organizers not be placed in D.C., but instead out in the states where they are needed the most. We don't need someone from the DNC here in California. They're needed in Nevada. They're needed in Michigan. They're needed in Pennsylvania. Those areas to start talking to working families. Remember, his district is 63% white working class. He speaks the language of the folks who left us who were not turned out in the 2016 election.
Well, let's hear from Taylor in Oakland. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
So I know both the guests wanted to point out that this shouldn't turn into something about the 2016 election, but it has. And as an avid Hillary supporter, I just think it's important for the party to heal some of those wounds. I think both of the top candidates would do just fine. But I think a lot of people felt that the DNC did play a role. I don't think it's a big of a deal as people thought it was in reality, but a lot of people thought the DNC was biased. And I think Keith Ellison would be a good step in wounding those, mending those wounds.
I see. It's interesting, Jennifer Granholm, because even if you're, Perez, you're saying is a person of the people, because of his association with, Clinton allies, doesn't he carry that baggage that people feel like make them disconnect from the Democratic Party? Whether fair or not.
I guess he carries it if people keep putting it on him, but he rejects that. I mean, he speaks to a broad swath. He very much supports the Bernie wing, if you will, of the Democratic Party. He wants to make sure young people and people who have felt like their student loans are too high, or people who have felt like income inequality is their key issue. Some of the folks who called in earlier, those are all issues he feels so deeply, and he has worked on both. I mean, look at what he's done in his history. I mean, he had led on leave and expanded paid sick leave so workers don't have to choose between the jobs they need and their families.
And forgive me, Governor Granholm, but do you think the party needs to move further to the left, or do you think it needs to moderate some to attract the folks that you're talking about in these swing states?
I think that the party needs to be progressive. So I definitely think that we need to listen to those who really care about income inequality, for example. I also think that we have to agree to reach out to a broad swath of people. One of the reasons why Donald Trump was successful is that he reached and got union support. Well, there are swaths of Republican support that I think Democrats can reach, those who are infused in the faith community, those who care about the least of these. Those should be people that we reach out to. So you can, I don't want to label it progressive or moderate or conservative. I think that you need somebody who can speak to a broad array of Americans who share our values. And that means that, we've got a broken income system and we need to fix that. And that means we've got a broken education system because it's too expensive. We've got to fix that. But that's why his whole motto is a DNC for every Democrat. We got it. We cannot be exclusive. We have to be broad and speak to a broad swath of people.
Well, Matt writes, flush them all and start over. Paul tweets, I'm hearing a lot of Democratic discussion about political strategy, vote counting and turnout, but no vision statement. And of course, this was also an issue that people have raised with Hillary Clinton's campaign, that it really, the message was more vote for me because this other guy is terrible, which is not a vision statement for where to go. So, we have not that much time left. Shonda Wesley, could you articulate a vision statement for the Democratic Party that Keith Ellison would be out there as a face in the media for the Democratic Party that would be sending out there as a message, as a vision?
Well, it's about a variety of issues that actually work with just about every, like the governor was saying, every facet of the voters in the states. It's energy and the environment. It's the economy, and it's peace and foreign relations. Immigration is something that's extremely important for Democrats to focus on, especially with all of the moves that Trump has been making. And income inequality is, of course, something that is high on the congressman's list to focus on. And I wanted to mention something about that division that we're talking about in the party. We don't win as a divided party. We win when we can bring everyone together. And one of the great things about Keith Ellison running for chair of the party is that the minute that Bernie Sanders did not win this election, he went right over to Hillary's team and said, what can I do? And that's why you find so many Hillary Clinton supporters supporting Keith for DNC chair. And you see that he walks the walk, and he is the person to help bring not only millennials to the table and their concerns about the debt that they're going to be seeing in their lifetime, and also how to incorporate their future on college fees and the environment and what climate change is going to do to their lives. He's bringing millennials along, which is a whole new group of people that aren't currently connected with the CDP, with the California Democratic Party, with the DNC, and I'm seeing them get energized. What's been interesting at the state party is that we have received a flood of people contacting us who have not been involved in the party system before. And because of what Trump is doing, they're seeing the values that they have on issues like women's rights and the environment. They're seeing those in jeopardy, and they're saying, what can we do to help? Well, and we've been scrambling to help them plug in to local grassroots organizations to help.
Well, that's someone who energizes them. Well, that's a lot and a big vision. I want to just try to get in one more call. Michael in Oakland. Hi, Michael.
Yes, good morning. I'd like the speakers to discuss the issues of integrity and transparency, both of which were lacking not only on the Republican side, but also the Democratic side. Everyone was so concerned about talking points that they fail to be honest. I'd also like the host to speak to the Fourth Estate's involvement and responsibility for really speaking to the issues and calling the candidates on all of their missteps and all of their flagrant lies during the campaign. And ultimately, I would like to see a reconciliation discussed in which the DNC apologizes to the Bernie Sanders campaign and speaks to how they're going to be honest and forthright with all candidates in the future. Well, I'll take my answers off the line.
Well, Michael, I appreciate your point. And unfortunately, we don't have a tremendous amount of time. I can tell you in journalism generally that there is a lot of soul searching being done right now in terms of how best to have reported this past presidential election and how to deal going forward. You know, I just want to ask you, Jennifer Granholm and Shonda Wesley, we have several other candidates besides Tom Perez and Keith Ellison. You know, you've got Jamie Harrison, Pete Buttigieg, Peter Pekarsky, Jemu Green, Sam Ronan, and Sally Boynton Brown. If there was somebody who, if it was not Perez or Ellison, who would you want it to be? Jennifer Granholm.
That is, you know, they had a great debate on CNN last night, and I was impressed by a number of them. I love Jemu Green because, she's so positive and forceful and forward-looking. And you'll see, I think, a consolidation of some of this support over the next couple of days before Atlanta.
And Shonda Wesley.
I think all of those candidates provide a really important perspective and experience. And so I'd like to see all of them join the Keith Ellison team.
Well, Shonda Wesley is senior strategist for the California Democratic Party. Thank you. And thank you, Jennifer Granholm, former Michigan governor with UC Berkeley's Goldman School of Public Policy. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis, who believe that all people deserve access to education and culture to enrich a lifetime of exploration and learning.